Right, if you'd grab your Bibles this morning and open them up to Acts chapter 1, we're going to read a verse there, two verses actually, and then we'll run over to Luke's Gospel for a moment. And if you're wondering where we're going and what we're doing, we're going to be this morning breaking off a little bit from the routine here and having the most recent trip from Russia, some of its people share with us today about what the Lord has done with them and through them on that venture. It was July 16th that we left for yet another missionary trip into Russia, returning back on the 28th. We had a large team, some 68 people just from here alone. We wound up having a couple others join us from Calvary Chapel Indio and Calvary Chapel Tucson. And then once we got over there and got translators assigned to us, we had a group that fluctuated from 150 to 160 people a day as a team, a witnessing and ministering team. We had great music. We will be having some of that great music again as we're going to get together in a reunion in October. But we had Brett Williams from Calvary Chapel of Seattle, and Danny Cruz up from San Diego, not to mention our own people committed to worship. We had a great time, and the Lord really began to move. And not only had we been there in the past, actually each year, sometimes twice a year since 1992, but this last trip was really a dynamic trip in that we were able to reach more people for Jesus than any other previous trip. We saw tremendous responses to the gospel and just to our nightly gatherings. It's too short of a time this morning to share with you the video that we produced for ministries across the United States and the West to get them interested in going to Calvary Chapel, or going to Russia through Calvary Chapel, a church planting mission out of San Diego. But if you are interested at all, we'd like to get that video into your hands for you to view it. It's about 20 minutes long. But the Lord did a neat thing. He did a neat work. And we're going to have just a handful of the people share this morning at this service. We had some of them first, and we'll have some this service, and then another group third service. But even still, with those that are sharing today, it is just a scratch in the bucket to the size of the group. So just a neat group of people. And I'm looking now at the photographs that we've gotten back. And my daughter this morning said, what was in my heart? Oh, I wish we could go back. And maybe we can. But I'm going to ask these guys to come on up, and then I'm going to give a brief introduction. If Gary Eastman would come up, and Ann Glutch, and Paula Hansen, and Marina, if you would come up, Rick Mefford, and John Miller, and Dave Slate, and Diane White, if they would just come on up here. As they're coming, they're going to share for about 3 minutes, right, guys? About 3 minutes each? Five? Nah. Watch the guy back there with the shepherd's hook. He'll pull you off when you go too long. But before they share, let me say this. It was in February of 95 that I was over in Russia, just spending time with the couples and seeing how things are going. And we were making plans for this year. And I had no plan in my heart. I had no agenda in my heart. I felt very strong of the Lord. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, like Amos says. But the Lord began to speak. Now we know this. But I told the couples and Christy in April at the time, I said, you know what, we really need to be ready to come on out maybe like around September. We ought to be ready to come out. And it was kind of received with a little bit of a shock, even to my own ears, is, you know, what are we doing? God is working, and, you know, we plan on being there for a long time. But I felt strong in my heart. And about a month or two later, Mark called me on the phone. He said, man, I just really bear witness with that timing, and our heart's getting excited about it, and God's raising up just some neat people. And so we're excited about that. And this departure that they're going to be coming out of tomorrow, coming back home, is not, it's been in the works for a long time. It has nothing to do with the current news that you're probably hearing on the radio and on TV. If you're not familiar with the news, the U.S. State Department has issued a warning to all Westerners, specifically Americans, to get out of St. Petersburg, Russia, and to get out of Moscow because of very serious and confirmed threats upon Westerners' lives there in Russia. Now, before you think anything like, oh my gosh, what's happening? I know this for a fact. The mafia, they are not behind this. The mafia want Western dollars and Western people there. They're not behind this. They don't want that to happen for monetary purposes. The Russian people do not want this to happen. I know that for a fact because they're the most loving, warm, generous, precious people I know. They are not happy with this. But we know this also from some communiques that we've had with people in Russia lately, that there is a consorted effort regarding a certain wing of the KGB and with the Russian Orthodox Church to expel the Western activity concerning the deliverance, preaching, the giving of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have arrested a Russian translator and the Western pastor. They're expelling the Western pastor out back to America, and they are now threatening to imprison the Russian translator for 3 years. The sooner we get out of Russia in our full-time status, get out, the safer it will be for the fellowship that's there, your fellowship, the church that you've started. And God, in His incredible wisdom and knowledge, knew this all along, so that our people coming out tomorrow, God raising up a native pastor, a Russian, to pastor the church, it is absolutely more than what we could have asked. Will we not go to Russia any longer? That remains to be seen. Do we plan on going to Russia? Absolutely. We will continue to go to Russia until we can't go any further. But we will plan on going. We'll be planning in that direction. God is also opening up other parts of the country, or the world, excuse me for that. We'll get into that a little bit later. But right now, I want you guys to be very gentle and gracious, although First Service did great. Some of these people have been crying about this. Some of these people have been saying, Jack, I don't want to do this. But you know how it goes. But I'm going to have you guys come on up, and I want you to state your name so everybody knows who you are, and about 3 minutes or so. And right now, we'll just start then with Gary. Gary, are you here? Yes. In fact, he didn't wear his shirt, so he should probably go first.
I know. Huh. I'm always the oddball in a group. There's a lot of people out there. Anyways, before this thing started, set my timer.
I'll let you.
Before this thing started, it was just kind of a prayer. It was just like, you know, Lord, if you want me to go, I'll go. I'm a teacher, so I get summers off. Only problem is, you know, I don't have any money in the bank, so I got to work. Okay? So the finances and all that were a concern, and I just said, well, Lord, I'm ready. The only thing is there's a few things that you're going to have to take care of. And so I went to the first meeting, and Jack had us fill out a request form and write down real specific, you know, things that we were worried about. And so I did. And one of the things I wrote down was, first of all, the cash to get there. Okay. Second of all, I needed a summer job because I couldn't teach summer school if I was going to Russia. So I needed to find a job that somebody would let me work for 2 or 3 weeks and then have a 2-week vacation and then come back for a month. And so I was like, okay, you know, that's going to be a bit difficult. And then I wrote down a specific amount of money that I need to make a week to survive. And I think I gave that to Ann. If you got prayers, give them to Ann. She's a prayer warrior, I guess, because she pulled it off. because a few days later, a friend and his wife walked up to me and gave me every penny that I needed to go to Russia. Cash right there. I was just like totally blown away. I was like, oh, okay. Didn't take too much of a spiritual insight to figure out that I think maybe the Lord wants me to go to Russia. Okay. And then the next thing, you know, I got a call from a company where I used to work, pharmaceutical company. And they said, hey, you know, so-and-so is pregnant, and we need somebody to work for the summer. Would you like to work? So I said, oh, okay. And they said, the only problem is we're doing a plant shutdown. Guess how long? 2 weeks. Guess when? July 15th to the 30th. where they went in and retile and paint and everything. So it was wild. Okay. So then the last thing I'm thinking, okay, money, come on, let's talk money here. And they sent me a thing in the mail. And a little contract says, you're going to be working such and such this shift, and these are the amount that we want to offer you. And it was to the penny exactly how much I wrote. And it was awesome. The Lord was just there, And so if you want to go somewhere, if the Lord puts it on your heart, even if he doesn't put it on your heart, if you're a believer, you need to be praying. You need to ask the Lord to send you where he wants to send you. And don't worry about anything else, because he'll do it. And it was just awesome. And the people who sent me, I know, are going to be blessed. And just the whole thing worked out. And so, man, can I talk for a while? Oh, bummer. 3 minutes? Okay. I'm going to cheat. There's one more thing I want to say really fast. Whoa, blow you away here. In Psalm 14, it says that a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Okay, and I want you to know that if you're a non-believer, and if you say that there is no God, or if you seriously doubt it, well, I want you to know that in Russia, I met more rocket scientists, real rocket scientists, more nuclear physicists and PhDs, this and that, who were staunch atheists, who had it drummed in their head for 50 years, who I began to talk to, and within a minute were in tears and began to believe. So it's not because of your mind. You're not such a great intellectual that you can reject God because you're just too smart, because these people are way smarter than we are. But their hearts were ready to receive Christ, and they did. So if you're rejecting God, it's your heart and it's not your mind. Okay.
Look at her. She's shy now. She was something out there.
Well, I'm probably like 5 minutes, though, because that's Robin said 5 minutes. So it was truly, I was truly blessed by being a part of that team the Lord allowed me to be, and my husband, who I won't look at, but because I'm not even going to cry for sure. And I do want to thank you guys. Without your prayers, there's no way that any of us could have made it out there. I just want to talk a little bit about the people that I met with. The first lady that the Lord led me to directly, she was just a little small-framed malnutrition lady. She had sores on her lips, very, very sad. Her eyes were drawn. She stood and she was watching the music. It was kind of toward the end of the day, and her hands were clasped in front of her. And I went over to her and I told her that Jesus loved her and that he forgives sins. And she did pray that day to receive Christ. She came to almost every single meeting. And later on, my interpreter stayed with her and discipled her. And she told the interpreter that she and her son had decided to commit suicide together. Her son had died, and she didn't, and she carried the guilt along for 6 years, and now she was freed, and that was pretty exciting. I shared with two military students. They were pretty neat. One was really open to hear the word, and the other was kind of distant. I asked them if they were to die today, did they know for sure that they would go to heaven? And I told them that was a possibility, being a soldier. And they weren't sure, so I shared salvation with them, and one just was so excited, and he accepted the Lord that day, and the other just turned his back and walked away. And I know that he won't forget, because his best friend is now a Christian. The people were so beautiful there. They absorbed all of our words, all of our thoughts. We looked straight into their eyes. We were just inches apart from their faces. We could see the wrinkles. It was so awesome. They even told me to take off my sunglasses. They wanted to look right into my eyes, too. Every day, I know that Chuck and I, we returned there every day in our minds. We spoke to a young a leader of a gang that we figured they were extortionists. You could tell that they were, probably making a living doing things that were hard for them. This guy was so handsome, really, really sharp looking. He had an Armani shirt on, a gold chain around his neck. He was so intense, and his face was like stone. As we told him about the forgiveness that Jesus had and for him, his face started to relax. It was really weird. He said, "I can't accept this." He said, "My sins are so great." But we know that day that we planted a seed, and I know that he's thinking about the Lord every day. Toward the end of our trip, our translator, Lena, she asked us what was so urgent about this message that we brought here. And we had a chance that night to share scripture with her. That evening, when Jack gave the invitation, she accepted the Lord. She told us that she thought she was a Christian all that time, but she never, ever experienced the joy that she had, and she knows now that she has a personal relationship with the Lord. We just praise the Lord for her. Over and over again, we were thanked for bringing this message. My hands were kissed. We were hugged. People begged us to come to their homes as they wept. We prayed with the people. Some of them had dangerous backgrounds. They were alcoholics, religious people, students, doctors, and teachers. A blessing that is so hard to express to you. I'd just like to leave you with two scriptures. Mark 16:15, Jesus said, "Go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Let's start here in our own community. Don't be afraid. I mean, we were, but the Lord truly filled us with the Holy Spirit. And with the day that we were leaving, the Lord gave this scripture to Chuck. 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." Thank you.
Morning. My name is Dave Slate, and the Lord also miraculously provided for me to go to Russia, and that was a real blessing in itself. But I want to share two things with you this morning. I was raised in Seattle, Washington, and growing up, Boeing Aircraft Corporation had facilities to the north and the south of Seattle. And as I was growing up, I'd listen to all the adults talk and things on TV and the radio, and I heard and believed that the Russian people were bad people. I remember hearing talk about a bomb, and it was those Russian people that were going to drop that bomb on us because we were a target. They were building war aircraft there at Boeing, developing strategies and that type of thing. So I remember as a grade school, every Tuesday the air raid sirens would go off and all us little kids would file out in the hall and lay on the floor, cover our eyes and our neck, protect ourselves from the blast from that bomb that the Russian people were going to drop on us. And I can say truthfully right now, after having this experience of going to St. Petersburg and talking to the Russian people, looking at them in the face, sharing with them that they're not bad people. They're just like we are. They have hopes and needs and wants and fears. Most of all, they need a Savior just like we do. The other thing I want to share with you is, I have a visual aid here. We're going to have a geography lesson. This is a 12-inch globe. It's to scale. To put it in perspective, the moon would be about the size of a softball and be back there about at the back row. So you're all floating out in space there around the world. Looks pretty small, doesn't it? Well, here's Russia. I don't know if I can make my fingers go that far, but that's Russia right here. The little dot here that represents St. Petersburg is about the size of a small, fine grain of sand. You take that piece of sand and you imagine there's about roughly 9 million people on that grain of sand. The enemy will tell us that what we do individually for the Lord is very insignificant. And he'll try to take our blessing and our power away. You think about those 9 million people on that grain of sand. Two scriptures come to mind. Matthew 10:30, that even the hairs of our head are numbered by God Almighty. Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's not so insignificant when you think about it. On our last evening of church in St. Petersburg, the one thing that I'll take home and that I took home and will remember always was at the end of the church service, they had all the Americans stand up and get off and stand off on the sides. And then they had all the Russian translators that didn't live in St. Petersburg and that wouldn't remain behind after we left stand up and get off on the side. And what was left was the Church of Calvary Chapel, North St. Petersburg. And that really touched my heart deeply to see that. And to think that in just some small way, thinking about that grain of sand and those roughly 9 million people there, that the Lord gave us, our team, a small chance to build that church and to serve Him and glorify Him. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Paula Hansen, and there's so many things to share about Russia with you, but mostly I want to share that the Lord's hand was totally on my trip because, number one, I don't fly. I do now. I didn't have the financial means to get there, but it came. The Lord provided that. I've never been away from my family except for more than 2 days, nothing ever. And here I was, thousands of miles away from my family in a country that, flying, doing things I've never done before. I just kind of like broke out of that crackerback box life I lived in and went gung-ho. And the very first minute I got to my room, I just started bawling my eyes out. I miss my family so much. And I said, Lord, what am I doing here? I don't know what I'm doing here. And I had to stop before Satan had a heyday with that one. And my roommate, who was wonderful, took me aside and we prayed. And I prayed all night long. And I woke up and I lay there and I said, now I got to take a shower. And that was scary. I mean, everything I had to do was scary. I was like, how am I going to take a shower without getting water? I practiced, and I still got water in my mouth. And I just said, Lord, let me take a shower. But anyways, to make a long story short, because I could go on for days, 2 days later, I was calling my hotel room my home. And I would refer to it to home. Well, when are we going to go back home? And I need to get something at home. And it was so neat to hear myself say that, because what a change in 3 days and what the Lord can do with prayer. I just prayed constantly, Lord, show me what I'm going to do here. Help me get through this day. While we're out there, lead me to people to speak to. Just everything, the Lord's hand was totally on it. I could just feel the Holy Spirit just moving there. And I'm really nervous. And it was really neat. I shared with some awesome people, and the Russian people are the most loving people I have ever met. They make you feel comfortable. You know, they don't even speak. We can't even speak, and I felt comfortable. They just grab your hand, kiss your hand. Somebody said they kiss my hand. I was like, don't kiss my hand. You know, let me kiss your hand. You're letting me over here in your country to share. And they just really, they're really loving. They at first, when you first approach them, you don't think you're going to even be able to talk to them, but they just light up when they know that you want to share with them anything. And I had people just stand there, and they would be talking to me, and you know that their bus just left, because they would look at it, but they would stay there and talk, and I thought, how awesome for them to just let their busy day be stopped and just to speak with me and let me speak to them and share the love of Jesus with them. It was just a neat experience, and I know a lot of seed was planted, and it was just really awesome. And I thank you for listening.
Hi, my name is John Miller. I just love the whole aspect of Russia. My grandparents are from the Ukraine. Remember my grandmother saying how hard life in Russia was. And, I couldn't wait to get there. I'm just so amazed that here we are, dirty rats, and God calls us and He sanctifies us, washes us clean, fills us with His Spirit, then He uses us. He doesn't even need us for that, and He does it anyway. This was my second trip to Russia, and all the same miracles happen when God wants you to go somewhere. He gets you there no matter what the circumstances are. But I'm just so glad that we have a pastor who listens to the voice of the Lord, and when God speaks to him, he's going to run with that, and how valuable that is. As last time we went, the first trip in August, April, we'd go from little schoolhouse to schoolhouse in the afternoons, and the band would play, and the kids would just love it. They'd stand up and clap doing every song. Then they'd all come up after service, and they'd want all the band members to write something in their Bible, and then we'd leave. They'd run after the bus as the bus would leave, and we'd kind of joke around that that was like we were Menudo, you know, the Menudo band, and they all, and we had a great time. We thought, not thinking too much, it almost was insignificant. But now, as I went back a second time, see those same young faces in that congregation. How awesome. Jesus talks about a fruit that remains. And one young lady in particular, Anna Stololovich. Let me see that. Where's that? Is that her name? Stololovich? Anna? Little Anna, anyway. I can remember signing her Bible. She's just a little bright-faced kid. And here we are, a year and a half or so later, and here she is in that fellowship, growing up to be a mature young lady, out in the streets with us, doing the puppet show, out there doing the skits with us. And how valuable, how precious that is, that somehow this little church in the deserts of Southern California, that God's sending us places. And that fruit that remains and that treasure that is so valuable, nothing that we can pay for or afford, even if we wanted to. And I can see hundreds of faces in my mind of people who accepted the Lord the first time. A beautiful couple that was curators of the school that we had the church in. And their faces, and to see them minister and the joy on their faces, what a blessing. I don't have a whole lot of individual experiences. I'd witnessed some, but mostly I played in the worship band. And if you think worship people are all holy, we have the funnest time of anybody in the church. We would have a blast. And I got to play with Brett Williams and Danny, I like this, Cruz. And we would have such a good time. But it's a special thing to get to play in that worship band, and you see it as the Spirit moves and as the Spirit is moving across some people and being the prayer for that. And boy, I can't wait till the next adventure we get to pursue in. And you guys keep praying every day, as Paul writes to the Philippians, to encourage, get some addresses, encourage that young church. It's a neat thing, and I'm just so glad to be a part of that.
My name is Ann Glutch, and I'll tell you, one of the great benefits of going is just getting to be closer to these people, and you just really bond, that's for sure. I'm going to tell you a story that began on the first Thursday that we were there. We were set up in the marketplace by the metro, and this young man comes up to me and asks what is going on, of course, in Russian, and he proceeds to let me stand and share the gospel with him. But I have to tell you a little bit about him. His name is Sergei. And I can't truly describe him to you, just that he'd given up on life and his eyes were glazy because he was a drug addict and he had a big vodka bottle sticking out of his pants. But Marina's sister Ira and I had the pleasure of leading him to the Lord. And what surprised me was he kept standing there and letting us share more and more and more. And finally, I just said, do you want Jesus in your life? And he said, yes. And that just blew me away how simple that was. And we prayed. And when we were done, Pastor Paul from Russia was walking by, and I grabbed him. And he's such a delight, you guys. I wish you could know him. He came, and he made friends with Sergei immediately. And I went on off to the side. and I proceeded to break down. I just sobbed and sobbed, and I really didn't know why. And the next morning, Friday devotions, Jack had us sing, "I Will Serve Him Because I Love Him." And there's a verse in it that says, heartache, broken people, ruined lives is why he died on Calvary. And bingo, that was the reason I cried so hard. I saw Jesus bring somebody who was the walking dead back to life. And really, that's all of us before we come to know Jesus Christ. God gave me a privilege that I will treasure for all my life. He let me watch the transformation that was happening to Sergei on the inside. He let me watch it for 7 days on the outside. He came Thursday night. He came at the very end, but he came, and he had his big bottle of vodka with him still. And then on Friday night, he came for the whole service, and he still had his vodka, but he was there. And I introduced him to Mark Copeland. What a precious man he is, too. Everybody was running every which way, and it was crazy, but Mark sat down with him, recognizing this is a man coming off of drugs, and he just reinforced everything once again, and he took the time to sit with him. And then Saturday was so neat. We were at Victory Park, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous park, but it started to rain, and Sergei was there, and we had to sort of break down the music so it didn't get, the instruments didn't get ruined, and we went off into a meadow, and I saw Sergei get ministered and encouraged by so many different people. It was really, really wonderful. And then Sunday, Sergei was there early for church, and there was a difference about Sergei. Not only did he not have his vodka bottle anymore, but his face was clean, and his hair even looked like it got washed. And then on Monday, there were so many people at the evening concert. I didn't get to see Sergei, but Jim McDaniels and Chris came up to me and said, "Have you seen Sergei? He looks so different." And I was so sad because I didn't get to see him. But the next night, I found out that he had brought a sister who was also a drug addict, little tiny thing, and she accepted the Lord. And boy, that really did it to me. And he did look different. His eyes were clear. He was incredibly coherent. He was getting cleaner. I don't know how to describe it better. Wednesday, they brought their friend, Alexi, and he accepted the Lord. And Thursday was like the highlight. It was tremendously hard to say goodbye. But Sergei had gone from a man who truly was a broken person, ready to be a throwaway. And here was this new person. His face was clean. His hair was clean and combed. He'd been wearing the same shirt all week long. It was this ugly black Metallica band shirt. He got rid of that, and he had on a clean shirt. Even his fingernails were clean. And I can't describe to you the difference, but this man was transformed, and I just bless God for letting me see that. And the verse that really comes to my mind is from 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." And I can't wait to get to heaven to see all that God's done with Sergei.
My name is Rick. There was many things that were hard in Russia that happened, or a few things that were hard, but nothing as hard as getting up here, I'll tell you. I'd rather go to Russia for a month. I'd just like to say that as we were preparing to go to Russia, we prayed a lot, and that was the focus of our meetings, was prayer, bathing the whole mission in prayer. And God answered prayers in such awesome ways. One of the things that we prayed, a lot of us prayed, was for those of us that have never gone to Russia, we prayed, "Give us a love for the Russian people." And God did that. He definitely did it. Before we even stepped off foot of the plane, he'd already emptied our hearts and made places for every person that we would meet in. And he went further. There were Russian people that met us, and they were already loving on us. They're just a special memory. Anyway, I also have a personal story to tell about a Sergei. It's not the same Sergei. If you think about it, Sergei is kind of like Mike or Joe. I mean, there's lots of them. About half the people you meet are Sergei. Anyway, Sergei is an easy... Just pray for Sergei, and that's half of the Russian men. what God did was God allowed us to see some things in such a short period of time. It was unbelievable. Sergei was a young man, handsome guy, and I got to share with Sergei for a couple of hours, and by the grace of God, he decided to make Jesus Christ his Savior. And anyway, Sergei liked me, and he wanted to hang out with me. And when you don't have a translator, the Russian people, a lot of times they'll just stand there, and you look over, and they're staring at you to remember your face, or I don't know what, they just love you. And it's not a bad way, they just like to look at you. And anyway, the next morning, this happened the first day, and the next morning, Jack, during devotions, he had said, "We have just a few precious moments in Russia, and we want to make the best of it. So we're not going to spend this time cultivating the friendships, we're going to spend this time sharing with people that have never heard about Jesus." And so that morning we took off, and we set up for music, and we're standing there, and here comes Sergei, big as day, and he's got this big old smile on his face, and he wants to hang out, and he's going to be my buddy. And so I sat down very early, and I shared with him what Jack had said. And he goes, "No problem." This was all through an interpreter. He goes, "No problem." And he gives me a big old hug, and off he went. And as the day moved on, here comes Sergei again. He's back again. And this time he walks up to me with his fiance, and he says, "I want you to tell her what you told me about Jesus and how Jesus has changed your life." And so I got to share with her. The neat thing about it was, as the time moved on, the fiance and I don't remember her name, but we looked around for Sergei. Where was Sergei? And he was in the middle of all of us. And he was passing out these tracts that talked about Jesus Christ. And Jack had shared with me, "You ought to go behind him and check out what he's talking about. See what he's saying." And so I did. And I didn't know any Russian, still don't, except for I know the name of God in Russian. And he wasn't talking about the weather. He wasn't talking about a fishing trip. He was talking about God and how God had changed his life a day ago, just one day ago. And he was already sharing with his own people. And, you know, what was shared with us at one of the devotions while we were there was the Great Commission is that we're to go out and make disciples of all nations and not make converts. We're to make disciples. And that was the big picture that God gave to us. And it didn't just happen with me. We got to see this throughout the team, that people would find out how God has changed our lives and they would turn around and want to share the exact same thing. And I do want to share one thing else, that the very first day that we were out, the music was almost set up and we're all like going, "We know why we're here, but who wants to make the first move?" And we were like set up into these little individual teams. And so we're all looking at each other, kind of like, nobody said anything, but we're all kind of like, "You first. I don't know what to say. What do we say?" And anyway, the Lord had shared something with me for a long time before the trip. And I'd like to share it with you. For all of us, and many of us share this way, I hear it all the time. "I don't know how to share God. I don't know how to share Jesus Christ." And in 1 Peter chapter 2, this is a special two verses to me. In 9 and 10 it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that his own special people." And we're his own special people, it goes on to say, "that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." He goes on to tell us how we weren't a people before, and now we're the people of God. And I shared that with a couple of people that were having a hard time there, and all I know is that even here, that if we don't know what to share, all we got to do is share the greatness of God and how he pulled us out of a dark pit and what life we have now. And that's what we all got to do, and it's just a wonderful memory to me. I can't wait till I can go back.
Здравствуйте.
Good morning.
Меня зовут Марина.
My name is Marina.
И я русская.
She's from Russia.
И Шелли мой переводчик.
Shelly is my translator.
Я очень рада видеть вас здесь и поделиться то о том, что Бог делает в Москве и в Санкт-Петербурге.
I have no idea. She said Jesus loves you. I just love her, and she lives here in America, but she was one of our translators, and so she wants to tell you some things.
Gosh, now I'm on my own, so bear with me. I'm going to spend about at least an hour talking. I'm just kidding. Actually, when Robin called me and asked if I can share with you guys, and I go, yeah, sure, and I go, how many minutes do I have? And she goes, well, 3 or 5, and I go, 3 or 5? I mean, how can you share about God in 3 or 5 minutes? I mean, you got to spend all your life talking about how great God is and, you know, how marvelous are his works. No matter, you know, where you go, you see God working in people's lives, and it's just so awesome. I'm one of the fruits of Calvary Chapel working in Russia. 3 years ago, Calvary Chapel started coming to Moscow and St. Petersburg and Ukraine and all these places, and I was one of the first people who met with Calvary Chapel. I've been searching for God for a long time, and I've never heard about Jesus dying on the cross, and because of that, I could be forgiven. I never knew about that. And when Calvary Chapel told me about it, I was totally blown away, and I was like, yes, this is what I want. This is what I've been seeking all my life. And now I get to be a part of Calvary Chapel, or just a part of God's working in Russia. I've been a translator for a long time for Calvary Chapel in Moscow, and then God brought me here to America for some reason. I'm still trying to figure that out. The thing that I wanted to share with you today is, first of all, is just thank you so much for prayers and for what you guys are doing there. I know that if it wasn't for some missionaries that were in Moscow 3 years ago, I wouldn't have been standing here and sharing the love of Jesus Christ with you. Or I wouldn't have been on that trip and, you know, all those trips that I've been involved with, standing there on the streets and sharing the Lord's love with those precious people. And, you know, praise God for putting that desire in all of your hearts to share that love with the Russian people. And I remember that amazed me, how much love you had for Russian people. And I was like blown away. It's like, why these people are so happy and they want to share something with me? Why do they want to, you know, it's like in the world, it's just like when you got something, you want to keep it to yourself and you don't want to give it to anybody else. You want to, you know, kind of selfish. And here people were giving out to everybody. You want to share that. And that totally blew me away. And, you know, and I'm just so thankful for those guys who were there. And I was, I met Calvary Chapel of Chino Hills, not long before, you know, after I got saved. And they played a big impact on me, drawing me closer to the Lord. And I know how fruitful are these trips by my personal experience. Also, I want to share something with you, what God did particular to me on that trip. Because I've been, you know, involved with these trips for about 3 years, you know, I've been translating, witnessing for as soon as I got saved. So I thought, oh, this is one of those trips, piece of cake, go share with people, you know, so easy. But as soon as I got to St. Petersburg, you know, it was like for 3 days we'll go out, and I didn't feel like God was using me. I felt like so useless. I thought, oh, everybody I invite to church don't come, and I was like totally discouraged. And the reason why it happened is that because I was relying upon myself. Like, okay, this is easy. I've done them before. I can't do it. But after a while, Lord showed me a scripture that we actually shared in our devotional times. It's in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. See, we're running the race that God has set before us. And I was running that race, but I was not looking unto Jesus. And when the Lord showed me that, it totally broke my heart. And I was like, oh, Lord, gosh, forgive me. And as soon as I got my focus off circumstances or what I needed to do and got my eyes on Jesus, it just started happening. I felt the Holy Spirit working through me. And one day, I was translating for Justin, and we were translating, you know, for these little boys, and I actually was thinking how much I have to learn from little kids, and how, you know, actually, you should see those young kids like Jeff, Justin, Ashley, Rebecca, Ben, Daniel, all of those guys. Gosh, we got to learn from them how to witness. Just go out there and be bold and tell people how much Jesus loves them. And, I was translating for Justin, and then I saw this lady. She was sitting there listening to me, and she was a Jewish woman. And she just asked me one question, and we got in conversation, and all of a sudden, you know, she's like, I want to know that love. And that day she received the Lord. And after that day, a lot of people came to the Lord. And it was just awesome what the Lord did there. So I got to wrap it up right now, but I want to thank you guys for praying for us, and I know that because of your prayers, the Lord was strengthening us and giving us boldness to go out and preach His word. Thanks.
Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And the beautiful thing about that statement, it was not given to a bunch of theologians or PhDs. It was given to an infant church that had just gotten its marching orders from the Lord Himself. And just prior to that, in Luke chapter 18, where the rich young ruler came to Christ and said, gosh, Lord, I've done all these things. You know, I've been such a good boy. I've done so many wonderful acts. What must I do to be saved still? And Jesus gave him really an x-ray of his heart, because the man had great possessions. And it said there in the scriptures that Jesus went down the list and basically told the young man that go sell all that you have and come and follow me. And it doesn't mean that if you have money, you can't follow Jesus. It just means that you'll have a rougher time than most of us, because it has its snare upon your heart. And the disciples' understanding was, gosh, if the wealthy cannot get to heaven just because they're wealthy, how can any of us get there? And Peter made that clear. He made that statement. And they had a strange understanding about who gets to heaven. And Jesus turned to Peter and He said, Peter, these things are impossible with man, but it is possible with God. And Jesus said to him in the next line in Luke 18:29, He said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left a house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come everlasting life. And you're looking at just a fragment. I wish we had the time to have the entire team come up. We can't. But many of you are responsible for sending these people over there, not only these, but the previous trips. And the Lord is blessing. I was on the telephone 2 weeks ago with a conversation going on with someone at Calvary Costa Mesa. And they asked the question, what are you guys doing out there? I mean, God's just blessing. We're hearing great reports. And remember when Chuck was here on that Wednesday night? Chuck went home and told everybody what was going on. And they're just very excited for us. And we praise the Lord for that. And when the guy asked me, man, I mean, all this stuff's going on, and God's providing and guiding and all this, how's that going on, you know? And the first thing out of my mouth was, it's Russia. Well, what's that? It's Russia. It's missions. It's reaching out. That's all I can tell you. And with what the Lord's doing in this body, asking you on second service to come now to first and third to make more room for people who are coming, God's adding to the body. We look at the things that are going on in regarding the expansion of this place, and I believe the Lord's going to come back any moment, but we are to occupy till He comes. And we look at what He's providing in the way of property. Amazing amounts of property. Staggering amounts, if you ask me. And yet God's going before us. And yet the wonderful thing is, you look at what you guys have spent on missions since the inception of this church. And the first year it was $9,000. The second year was about $17,000. Third year, $24,000. Fourth year, $68,000. Last year, over $80,000 you guys spent on missions to get the Word of God into China and into Russia. And the Lord is using you. You may be sitting here this morning saying, well, I haven't done anything. I feel like a heel. Those people coming up there sharing, I have never done anything. You know what? It gives me a great deal of pleasure to tell you that when we stand before the Lord, the nickel that you might have dropped into the offering at some point in time was used to send somebody to China or to Russia to get the gospel to one soul. And Rick was sharing about Sergei. I saw Sergei out there sharing. Some of you made it possible for Sergei to hear the word and to share the word. And you don't even know him. You've never seen his face. And you're going to see him in heaven. And that will be rewards to your account when we get into the kingdom, when we get upstairs. And it's going to be a radical time. It's my heart's desire that this church, that you guys would never lose your passion for the rest of the world to get the news out. That Jesus died for sinners. All of us are sinners. That Jesus died for us and He rose again from the grave because He was God's Son come in human form to pay the price that we couldn't pay. And I look across here right now. We have students here. We have people here from Japan today. We have people here from other parts of the world today. And how small is the brother as Dave held up the globe. How small the world is. And I just want to end with this. I've been to Russia a lot. I think this was my eighth trip over there. And the world is so small. And the part that blows my mind is Jesus knows no language barriers, and He doesn't pay the slightest attention to political lines that are drawn in the sand. He's everywhere, and He's awesome. Let's pray. Father, we come before You. And Lord, we thank You for these reports. I pray that as this morning is very different from the norm, Lord God, it's been a breath of fresh air. Father, that there is not one heart, there's not one person in this place that wasn't in some way touched by a missionary. For those of us who are born again, maybe the missionary shared with us on the beach, maybe up in the mountains, maybe that missionary shared with us at work. Maybe that missionary is in our own family, and that's why we're here today. Maybe that missionary is someone who opened up their home just to share the love of Jesus. That what can be had is not temporary, but eternal. Lord, we confess we have motives. Our motive is to bring as many women and children, men, all the world into the kingdom, that You are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. And that's our motive. That's our heart's desire. So Lord, spare us from the entanglement of little things and cause our eyes to see the great picture and the great plan. In Jesus' name we pray.